Thanks for tuning in to the Next Level Church podcast. For more information, check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
Today we're continuing our series Level Up, and as a part of Level Up, the challenge that I want to issue to all of us today is to go all in with our faith in God, to go all in. Now, I know that when I say that, that is a scary thing, because for a lot of us, we think, well, I don't know how to go all in, or maybe some of us think, I can't go all in. Maybe us don't even know what all in looks like. And so today, what I want to do is I want to talk to you about how you can go all in. Life change happens when you go all in. And so we're going to talk about that. And what's going to drive our conversation, what's going to get us to our point, what's going to show us how we all can go all in and how ultimately we can be changed is our scripture for today. And at Next Level, we want to show honor to the text, and I want to tell you why we do that. I'm convinced that when you anticipate something, that is when you're excited about something, when you look forward to something, you can get more out of it. If you come to something, you're just like, I don't really care, it's not that big of a deal, whatever, you don't get a lot out of it. And so here at Next Level, we believe that the life change comes through the Word of God, and we want to hear that, and we want to anticipate that, and we're excited about it. So I want to invite you to stand to your feet to show some honor to our text today, and read with me nice and loud, 2 Peter 1:3. It says, His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Now that we've read the text, let's go to God in prayer. God, we come before You right now, and this whole series is about asking us to get before You and to ask You to speak to our hearts. And so, God, right now, we just give You permission to do that. We know You don't need our permission, but God, we're just giving it. We want to hear from You. And God, I know that whenever You speak, it's challenging, it's difficult. So would You give us the courage to do whatever You tell us to do? And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in Your sight. Oh Lord, You are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Who here likes magic? Just raise your hand if you like. Okay, handful of you like magic. I want to attempt something to you. I'm not a magician by any means, but I want to attempt something for you today. Here I have a pen, and people get really scared when I come into the audience. They get really nervous, but I promise I'm not going to embarrass anyone at all. You're going to have to tell everyone, because this pen is hard to see, especially for those in the back. You're going to have to tell everyone, would you examine that pen? Is that a normal pen?
Appears so,
okay. Would you find something and write with that pen? Would you just make sure that it's a writing utensil? Okay, say that again?
Yes, it is.
Okay, he confirmed that it is. It is a writing utensil. Now, I have here a dollar bill. Would you inspect that dollar bill? Just grab the dollar bill. Would you look at the dollar bill? It looks good. Would you just make sure, would you actually hold it up? Would you hold it up so that everyone can see it? It looks good. Okay? Looks perfect. There's no issues with it or anything, okay? Okay, now, this dollar bill, normal, just everyday dollar bill, this pen, everyday normal dollar bill, did I set you up or ask you to do anything?
No.
Okay, this is not, you had no idea coming to church today that you were going to be part of the sermon, did you?
No idea.
Okay. So, if this works, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take this pen, okay, and I'm going to take the pen and I'm going to push it through the dollar bill, creating a hole, okay? Now, in order to do that, I need both hands, so could you hold the mic? Okay. And what I also need from you, thank you for holding it towards me, what I also need from you is the magic words. Would you give me the magic words?
Abracadabra.
Abra.
Perfect. I'm like, what do I come up with?
You thought really long and hard about those. Abra, okay, if those are the right magic words, then I will be able to poke a hole through this dollar, okay? Say them again.
Abracadabra.
Say them one more time.
Abracadabra.
Okay. Okay. All right. Can you confirm to everyone that there's a pin through a dollar bill?
I can confirm, yes.
Okay. Is it illegal to put a hole in money?
I believe it is.
Yeah. Believe it is. Okay. So I want to be legal. I want to make sure that I'm following the laws. And so if those hard thought out magic words, which what were they again?
Abracadabra.
Abracadabra. If those were the right magic words, then I'm going to remove this pen from this dollar bill, and there will not be a hole in the dollar bill. Do you believe? Do you believe? Let's see. Okay, hold the microphone again. Magic words one more time.
Abracadabra.
One more time.
Abracadabra.
Okay. Is there a hole in this dollar?
No.
Is the pen still intact?
It is.
Is there a hole in this dollar?
No.
This is your part. Ooh.
Ah.
Okay. Now, I'm not a very good magician. I wish I was, but I like the idea of magic. I think it's fun. If you're like me, when someone does magic, you know that it's a magic trick, right? You don't think that it's like real magic. Some of you might believe that I have like wizard powers. I don't. Like, it's a magic trick. Like, you can buy things that cause us to believe something that's not there. And I'm convinced that all of us love the idea of magic. Magic is fun. Magic is instantaneous. Magic is a change that happens without a lot of work. It blows our mind. It makes us excited. But the interesting thing is if we're honest with ourselves, we all know that it's just a trick. That's why it's so funny to me that so many products today attach the word magic to it, because essentially what they're saying is the product doesn't work. It's a trick, because we know that magic's not real. Like, for example, we have products like Magic Eraser. Who has a Magic Eraser? Right? Right? Yeah. Love Magic Eraser. I would have used a different word than magic, because magic, we all know, is a trick, but we love the idea of magic. Who here has a magic bullet? Four of you bought that infomercial. Awesome, magic bullet. There are lots of products. If you go to the store, they will either call the product magic, or they will say, works like magic. And what I laugh at is that, like, why would you want something to be magic when we all know that magic is fake? I think it's because deep down inside, we love the idea of seeing something change instantly. And I think if we're honest with ourselves, all of us deep down inside want to experience a little bit of magic. There's some issue that you have, there's some struggle that you have, there's some difficulty in life, and in your brain you think, you know what, I just wish that I had a magic pill. I just wish I had a magic solution. I'm hoping, today was a tough day, but I'm hoping tomorrow I will find the answer. And we think that once we find this answer, once we take this magic pill, once someone gives us the magic words, we'll instantly be changed. The problem is that magic is fake, and life change never happens instantaneously. If you want to experience life change, you have to go all in. But in order to go all in and sustain it, it involves you taking little steps in the right direction. To go all in with something is overwhelming and it's scary. And so I believe you should go all in with your faith. But in order to do that, you say, oh, that's so scary. I don't know where to begin. I don't know what to do. Like, yeah, hey, I'm scared. But going all in doesn't mean that you have to be perfect. Going all in doesn't mean you have to have all the answers. It just means you need to take a step in the right direction. And when you choose to go all in and take little steps towards your goal, what you see is you walk in the right direction. And as you walk in the right direction, you end up experiencing massive life change. But it never happens instantaneously. And it never happens with a magic pill. And it never happens with like a Jedi mind trick where you're just instantly changed. We desperately want God to instantly change us, but God works through the system of little baby steps. I want to show you this in our text for today. Our text was written by Peter, and Peter was one of Jesus' best friends. He was also one of his disciples, which was one of his 12 guys that came and followed after him. And after Jesus died, he rose again, and then he met with Peter. And he challenged Peter to become the first pastor of this Christian thing, this Christian movement, this new thing called the church. And Peter writes two letters to Christians who in his day and age were persecuted for his faith. That is, they were dying because they simply were Christians. And Peter writes two encouraging letters to them, and that's where we're going to dive in. We're going to dive in today. 2 Peter 1:3, Peter writes, his divine power. I want to stop there just for a second. He says his. Who do you think his is? Just shout out the answer. Yeah, I'm just telling you, this is free. Anytime a pastor asks a question, at least 98% of the time, the answer is God or Jesus. So if you threw that out there, that's right. That's correct. You can feel confident in that. That is the correct answer. Not all of you answered, though. Some of you were sheepish. Some of you were scared. Some of you thought it was a trick question. The answer in this case is God or Jesus. We're just going to go with Jesus for this case. So would you humor me and just say that out loud? Who are we talking about? One, two, three.
Jesus.
Or God. His divine power. Whose divine power?
Jesus.
Jesus' divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. His divine power. Jesus' divine power has given us everything we need to live a godly life. His divine power has given us everything we need to live a godly life. Way too many Christians get this wrong. Way too many of us say that we follow Jesus and we may go to church, but yet we live as if the power to live for God comes from ourselves. We treat God like it's some infomercial, or like it's some magic pill, or like it's some discipline that we just need to will ourselves to be better. And that kind of living will lead you to be frustrated. Because you're never going to go all in. You're going to keep making mistakes. You're going to be imperfect. You're going to do things and say, why did I do that? That was such a stupid thing to do. And then you're going to get mad at yourself. And so often, the biggest mistakes that we make is because we are relying on our own strength and our own power. The power to follow God doesn't come from you, it comes from God. And Peter says His divine power. Whose divine power? Jesus' divine power has given us everything we need. The godly life doesn't come from what we do for God, it comes from what Jesus has already done for us. Way too many people think that the godly life comes from doing good things for God. I just need to be better. I need to work harder. Maybe I'll volunteer. Maybe I'll go to church a little bit more. Maybe I'll give a little bit. And then God will bless me. The reason that is so wrong is that God's already blessed you. God loves you. Not because of what you've done, because of what He's done for you. And God doesn't love you more when you do things for God. When you do things for God, it's not like He says, oh, now they got my attention. Now I love them. Now I'll bless them. No! He loves you so much. How do you know this? He sent His Son to die for you. Jesus loves you. So doing good things for God is not to get His attention. He already loves us. When we do things for God, it allows us to tap into the power of God. And the godly life comes not in your own strength, in the strength from God. But it's really easy to live our lives without the power of God. In the military, they have this phrase that they teach about, it's the reintegration period. And oftentimes in the military, they'll send a spouse to deploy overseas or away for some training, and that spouse will go away for some time, and then when the spouse comes back, it's the reintegration period. And what that means is that while the spouse is gone, even though they're missed, even though the family misses them, everyone learns how to live life as if they aren't there. And when the spouse comes back, there's some excitement. It's like, yeah, we're so glad that you're back. But then the hard work begins because the family has gotten used to living life without the dad or without the mom who's just been deployed. And now that they're back, they have to reintegrate. They have to learn how to do life together. And it's so easy in this world to live like that when it comes to a relationship with God. It's so easy in this world to live in our own strength and do our own works and try to discipline ourselves and to live without the power of God. We can actually get used to living without the power of God. Because God has made us in His image. He's made us good. We have a lot of good things going on. But here's the truth of the matter. I don't want to just be good. I want to be great. And if I'm honest with myself, my good is not really that good. I can try to walk with God. I can try to do some good things. I can try to be a good moral person without God. But the truth of the matter is, I'm incredibly selfish. And the truth of the matter is I can be really lazy. And the truth of the matter is, I can be really stubborn. And the truth of the matter is when I think I'm doing good, often I'm self-destructing my own life. The greatness comes not in your own goodness, not in your own strength. Greatness comes when you say, I am not good without God. And in order to get where God wants me to go, I've got to tap into the divine power of God. It is in Jesus that he gives you everything you need to live the godly life. In Jesus, not in your own strength. Let's read the verse again, 2 Peter 1:3. It says, his divine power, whose power?
Jesus.
First time it's been unison this whole time. Jesus' power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. The divine power, the way that we tap into that, the way that we get that, is by thinking about and understanding and having a knowledge of who God is. Without this knowledge of who God is, we will rely on our own strength to try to make it through this life. And we need to know who God is, because so often life is so hard. If we don't know who God is, we'll forget what God has done for us. And it is in the knowledge of God and understanding what Jesus has done, and in understanding that if you're a Christian, he's given you everything you need to live a godly life. It is that knowledge that when you think about it, when you chew on it, when you meditate, when you remind yourself of it, you have, according to Peter, you have God's presence inside of you that has given you everything you need to live a godly life. But way too many of us believe in Jesus, but we try to handle our problems by ourselves. Way too many of us say, yeah, I'm a Christian, but I got this, God. I'm a Christian, but I don't know if you're really going to get into my mess. I'll solve my own problems. And I'm convinced that many of our problems are because we are living life spiritually empty. Jesus is the gas to your spiritual car. Jesus is the power source to your life. His divine power has given you everything you need to overcome this world. It's his power. Without his power, we're going to constantly struggle. It is in Jesus. He is the fuel. When I was in college, I drove a Ford Focus. It was teal. It was real popular with the girls. The Ford Focus was a special car because I owned it, and it was the best that I could do. But it was special because it had its own personality. My car only worked, the electrical stuff only worked on one half of the car at one time. So the left side of the car, the power locks would work and the power windows would work. But the right side of the car, the power locks and the power windows would not work. Included in this was the speakers. And so when I'm listening to the radio, half of my car would blast the music and the other half would be silent. And I used to intentionally hit speed bumps really hard, because if I hit a speed bump hard, it would knock all the power on, and for a few moments, my whole car would work. And then eventually the right side would start working and the left side would not work. And so I wouldn't have power locks or power windows on the left side. I would only have it on the right side. And one of the issues with this Ford was that the gauges would often just go out on me. And this is problematic when you're on the interstate and you don't know how fast you're going. It's also problematic when the gas gauge is constantly on full and you don't know if you have a full tank of gas or not. And sometimes the gas gauge would stay broken for weeks, and you would think that I would be smart enough that I would say, you know, it's been a week since I put gas in. I probably should do it no matter what the broken gas gauge says. But I wasn't that smart. I just drove by faith, not by sight. And so one day I was leaving my college. I was going to the University of Thomas and Nelson. It's also known as Harvard by the Highway. Go Gators. Great, great school. I was leaving Thomas and Nelson, and I was at the stoplight, and in order to get to my house, I had to turn left on Big Bethel. I turned left on Big Bethel, and when you turn left on Big Bethel, the first thing that you do is you drive over the bridge, which goes over the interstate. And as I went up the hill, my car sputtered, and I ran out of gas. And I knew it instantly that I was out of gas. My gas gauge said it was full, but it had been broken for a while, and I had not put forth the work to put gas in the car, so I knew it was my fault. And so I ran out of gas. I put my hazards on. I was frustrated, mad at myself. I get out of the car, and I start walking to the gas station. As I'm walking to the gas station, a nice BMW pulls up in front of me and pulls over and says, hey, what's going on? I said, I ran out of gas. My gas gauge is broken. I thought it was full, but it was empty. And he said, oh, no worry about it. I'll give you a ride. Now, what you need to understand is that I grew up in a family where my dad was a wee bit of a worrier. My dad was the type that would say, don't swim if you've eaten for 30 minutes afterwards, or you'll get a cramp and die. My dad was the type that said stranger danger, and he instilled these things inside of us. And so when a stranger, even though he's driving a nice car, when a stranger in a nice car pulls up and says, I want to give you a ride, I was like, stranger danger, no thank you, I'm good. I'm going to walk to this gas station. And he says, no, it's really hot outside. Just get in my car. And I'm like, no, really, I'm good. And he says, no, like, seriously, I want to give you a ride. And I'm trying to be a nice person. So I'm like, you know, I guess I could do it. I'm talking myself into it. And then I get a little burst of confidence. I'm like, what's he going to do to me? Like, I'm a man. I'm not a kid. Like, he's not going to man-nap me. Like, if he tries to, I'm going to fight back. Like, I'm not just going to let him take me. Like, what am I scared of? So I say, all right, I'll take a ride from you. So I get into the car, and we drive on the other side of Big Bethel and get to where Hampton Road Center Parkway is. And he says, how are you going to fill up your car with gas? Do you have a gas can? I said, no, I don't. I'm just going to buy one from the gas station and fill that up and then go fill it up. He says, oh, no, don't do that. He said, I'm visiting from out of town, but my sister lives right down the road. Let's go to her house. He said, I know that she has a gas can in her garage. And I'm thinking, oh, this is it. I should have listened to my dad. I am, in all honesty, it's a funny story, but in all honesty, I am scared at this point. I'm like, just let me buy. And I'm like, no, just go to the gas station. He's like, no, I'm serious. I insist. Let's go to my sister's house. And before I know it, he does a U-turn, heads back down Big Bethel Road, and pulls into a neighborhood. And he gets out of his car, and he opens his trunk. And I'm like, this is it. He's going to pull a bat or a gun or a machete out of there, and he's gonna clobber me, and I'm going to be in the trunk hog-tied and have to squeal like a pig. It's going to be awful. A few seconds later, his sister comes out of the house, and she has a gas can, and she hands it to him. They hug, and he puts it in the trunk, and he closes it, and he gets back in the car. And at this point, I'm like, thank you, God. And I start thanking him over and over again. I said, thank you so much. Like, oh, you're so generous. And he didn't understand that I was thanking him for not taking my life. He thought that I was thanking him for his niceness, for him, for his generosity. But I literally was worried, and now I'm like relieved, like I'm not gonna die, I'm not gonna get man-napped, I'm gonna make it, like this is gonna work out. And so I'm thanking him over and over again. He says, listen, you don't need to thank me anymore. He says, I just would like you to support my music. He says, I'm in a band, and our band has just signed with Puff Daddy's record label, and we have a new album coming out. The name of our band is 112. If you would just support our music, that would be all that you would have to do for us. And I did support his music. The song was called Peaches and Cream. It was not very Christian, and it has nothing to do with peaches or cream. So I didn't support their music very long. But I tell you that story because it's funny, but I also tell you that story because I added a lot of stress and a lot of worry, and like legit worry. Like I legit was nervous when he got out of his car and went to his trunk. Legit worry, and I did like pray to God, and I was scared. And all of that came because I tried to drive a car that was empty on gas. And God is so good that he blesses your life even though you try to drive your spiritual life without him. And sometimes we mix it up and say, well, God's still blessing me, so why do I need to do anything? And life's still pretty good, but how much better would it be if you allowed God to power your spiritual life? And just because things aren't bad doesn't mean you don't need God as a source for your life. Because his divine power has given us everything we need to live the godly life. And if you're here today and you're frustrated with your own struggle, if you've said, I just don't think I'll ever change, if you've said, I'll never get over this, if you've just said, I can't fix myself, then you know what? You can't. Because it's not your power, it's his divine power that gives us everything we need to live the godly life. And look what Peter says next. This is so important. Peter says in 2 Peter 1:4, he says, through these, through what? Through his godly power and through the knowledge of God, through this, he has given us his very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate. On the count of three, say the word participate. 1, 2, 3. In the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. This verse is so, it is so crucial if you're a Christian here today. It is so crucial. It is through God's power that we might participate in His divine nature. And by participating in His divine nature, we are able to escape the corruption caused by our own evil desires. It is by participating in the divine nature. It is not by just saying, God, take my problems away. It is not by taking a magic pill. It is not just hoping that God will provide a miracle. It is by participating in the divine nature that God then gives you the power to change your life. But it comes, the power comes from God. Our part is to participate in what God is doing. When we participate in the divine, our life is changed. We so often get this wrong. So many Christians think that in order to experience God, in order to get God's love, I have to clean up my life. I have to clean up this mess. I have to get right with God, and then God will bless me, and then God will give me what I need. Wrong. Survey says that is not the correct answer. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. The power of God comes not when you try to clean up your life, but when you allow God to do what only God can do. It is His divine power that gives us everything we need to escape the corruption of the world. We will not escape as long as we're trying to rely on our own power. But through God, we participate in the divine. This is so cool. This is exciting. You don't have to struggle in this world on your own. You're not left here to muster up your own strength. You're not left here to figure out how to be disciplined enough. You're not disciplined enough. I'm not disciplined enough. But by participating in the divine, that is by experiencing God, He gives us the power to overcome the struggles in our life. That's how life change happens. It is by participating in the divine. Life change happens by choice, not chance. If you're taking notes, I'd encourage you to write that down. Life change happens by choice, not chance. If you want to experience life change, you've got to make a choice to participate in the divine. God's already given you everything you need to change your life, but it comes through His power and not your own. And when you choose to participate, you experience God. And when you experience God, He changes your life. Life change happens by choice, not chance. The key here is to participate. In order to grow, in order to change, in order to go all in, you have to participate in the divine. Mike Burgross is a great guy. He goes to our 8 a.m. service and he sits in the second row, comes every week. And I met Mike through CrossFit, through the gym that I was going to. Mike was one of the trainers, and he focused on starting strength on the weightlifting side of it. And the way that our gym worked is we would come in every day, and there was a certain exercise that we had to do on the weight. So one day it might have been bench pressing, one day it might have been squats, one day it could be deadlifting. And we would do our reps and our sets, and we'd write it down to track our progress. And we would do this through a whole series. So about 7 weeks would go by where we were trying to improve and get stronger. That's the whole goal, just to move up a little bit. And it would end the cycle by getting to what was called our one rep max week, where we would try to lift as much weight as we could, and it would always encourage you to feel like, oh yeah, I am getting stronger, I am improving, and then you'd go through the cycle again and try to beat your one rep max from the previous time. Well, on this day, we were doing deadlifts, and I got down to lift my weight, and I had worked myself up to 300 pounds, lifting 300 pounds, which I felt was pretty good. I was very happy with where I was at. And so for my one rep max, I said, I think I can do about 310, 315. And so I put 310 on the bar, and I lift it once, and it hurts. I have little baby hands. They're soft. And the bar has this grip on it, and so it hurts. And so, like, I would lift and, like, let out a grunt. Grunting helps a lot in life. If you are, I'm serious. If you are cold, let out a grunt, it'll warm you up. Ugh! It warms you up. If you're scared, let out a grunt. It makes you more brave. Like, grunting helps. And so I let out a grunt, and I lifted the weight, lifted up, dropped the weight down, and I felt great. I was like, oh, I just lifted more weight than I've ever lifted in my life. And I was ready to go home, and Mike says, Rob, that was easy. I said, no, Mike, that was easy for you. That's hard. He said, no, there's more in you. I know there's more in you. That was so easy. Let's put some more weight on the bar. He puts more weight on the bar. We're up to 320, and I lift it, and I let out a grunt, and I lift it, and my baby hands are hurting, and I drop the weight down, and I'm like, oh, that's the most I've ever lifted. I'm done. And Mike says, Rob, that was so easy. You're not even breaking a sweat. I said, it's not easy, Mike. You don't understand how bad that hurts. And he says, listen, there's way more in you. I'm going to put some more weight on the bar. So he puts more weight on the bar, and I lift it, and this time I think, surely I'm done, and I drop it, and he says, Rob, I'm telling you, I'm watching your form. That is so easy. You're not even trying. And I get a little frustrated. I'm like, Mike, I am trying. I'm done. I have nothing left in me. And he says, that's fine. I'm just going to put more weight on the bar, and if you feel like coming back, come back and lift it, because I know you can do it. And so I go walk off and let off some steam, and I come back and say, okay, I'll try this again. I lift it again. On that day, I went in. The most I'd ever lifted was 300, and I thought that my cap was 320. And on that day, because of Mike's coaching, I lifted 370 pounds. The reason I did it, though, is because Mike said there's more in you. He's my coach, and I listen to my coach. And please hear me on this. Today, I want to be your spiritual coach. There's more in you. And for way too many of us, we are cutting short our spiritual lives because we're saying, I can't, it's just too hard. I can't memorize scripture. I can't read the Bible. I can't lead a Bible study. I can't volunteer. I can't give financially. I can't do this. I know myself. I'm not disciplined enough. I'm not good enough. I can't do it. Please hear me on this. There's more in you. There's more in you. You can do it. Maybe you just need someone to believe in you. And if you need anyone to believe in you, understand that Jesus believes in you. He says, I've given you everything you need to live the godly life. Don't quit. Don't stop. So often we make these excuses and we say we can't, but the truth of the matter is we won't. And for way too many of us, we're telling God, I can't do it. But if we're honest with ourselves, it's that we won't do it. God says, serve. Oh, I can't do that. No, you can. God's given you everything you need. Join a small group. Oh, I can't do that. No, you can. God's given you everything that you need. Read the Bible. Oh, I can't do that. No, you can. It's not a matter of you can't. It's a matter of will you do it? And so often we've convinced ourselves we can't, but in reality, the truth of the matter is we won't. And this whole challenge, this whole thing that we're in, this spiritual journey, is all about us getting alone with God and asking Him, God, what's my next step? And for way too many of us, that's scary or that's hard or that's difficult. And so we're just not getting alone with God. But this whole thing falls apart if we don't come together and get alone with God and say, God, what's my part to play? What do you want me to do in it? And if God doesn't answer you, that's on Him. But I'm convinced that if we get with God, if we would just be willing to say, God, what do you want me to do? He'll tell us. He'll answer. He'll lead us in the right direction. But for many of us, it's not that God won't answer us. It's that we won't go to Him. So what would happen if you went all in? And how do you go all in? You take a baby step in the right direction. Don't worry about becoming perfect. Don't worry about becoming better. Just take a step towards God. Say, God, what is my next step? And you take a step towards God, and then that becomes easy. And then you say, okay, God, now what's my next step? And you take another step towards God, and when that becomes easy, you say, okay, now let me take another step. And before you know it, you've come a long way, and you look back and you say, my life has radically changed. But how does it change? One step at a time. So there's an individual challenge, but there is a corporate challenge. And the corporate challenge is something that is really scary. The corporate challenge is for us to come together and to raise $1.6 million to build a new building. And it's scary. And it's something that we can't do unless we get alone with God and say, God, what part do you want me to play in this? And do you want me to give? Do you not want me to give? Like, what's my next step? And the reason it's scary for me is because I care deeply about you. And I hear people say all the time, oh, the church just wants my money. And so I resisted doing this whole thing because I'm like, I don't want people saying that I just want their money. But in order for us to get there, we do have to raise the funds. So if you're here today and you feel like we just want your money, would you please hear me on this? Don't give. If the thing that's stopping you from taking a step towards God is your skepticism of me, don't give. Don't give. Now, I want you to take a next step. I want you to hear from God, and I want you to do whatever He says. But please hear me on this. If the reason that you're not giving generously is because you think the church just wants your money, would you please start giving generously to another church? If you can't trust us, if you can't trust me, then I hope that one day we'll earn your trust, we'll win your trust. But I hope that you'll be generous and allow God to use you to be generous to someplace. Don't let your skepticism stop you from being generous to God. If you can't be generous here, just give somewhere. Give to another church. Support them. We're all on the same team. But if we have earned your trust, hear us. It's not that we want your money. I don't want anything from you. I want something for you. And if you're here today and you would say, okay, I will go before God, when God speaks, He'll give you something, and it may be challenging. And here's your response if you're wanting to take a next step. God, I don't have it, but if you provide it, I'll give it. God, maybe your next step is to get baptized, and you say, God, I don't have that. I'm scared. But God, if that's my next step, I'm going to believe that you've given me everything I need to live the godly life, and you'll give me the courage to take that next step. If you get alone with God and God says, hey, you've been on the sidelines, it's time to get in the game, it's time for you to volunteer on a team, and you say, oh, I don't have the time. Well, if that's your next step, God will give you what you need to volunteer on the team. If you're here today and you say, God, what's my next step? And God says, you're trying to live life alone. You can't do life alone. Get involved with community. And you say, oh, I can't. I live too far away. I don't have time. I can't. Well, your response is, God, if that's my next step, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Just provide. Because in Jesus, in His divine power, He's given us everything we need to live the godly life. Take your next step. 1 Peter 1:5 through 7 says, for this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. What is Peter's point? Peter's point is that if you are a Christian, you got to grow. There's always a next step. You've never arrived in your faith. None of us are perfect. None of us have this thing figured out. It's not like, okay, now I can relax. There's always another step that you can take. Always. Keep growing. And watch what Peter says. This is so important. In 2 Peter 1:8, he says, for if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you possess these things, if you continue to grow in your faith, then you won't be ineffective. How do you become ineffective? It's when you put your spiritual life in neutral. When you're not taking steps towards God. If you're not growing towards God, your faith is dying. There is no holding pattern. So take a step. Ask God, what is your next step? Be honest with yourself. Are you not taking the next step because you haven't heard from God? Or are you not taking the next step because you're scared of what He's already told you to do? Be honest with Him. The question is, what is your next step? So here's again the big idea for today. If you want to go all in, start with the next step in front of you. That's how you go all in. You're not going to be passionately in love with God overnight. You're not going to be a person of great faith overnight. If you want to go all in, just start with the next step in front of you. And when that gets easy, take another step. And when that gets easy, take another step and just keep walking towards Jesus, because He's given us everything we need to live a godly life. So the win is what we do with all this information. And here's today's win. For 1 year, what would happen if you went all in? For 1 year. I've heard all the excuses, I've heard all the reasons why, but just put a timetable on it. For 1 year, what would happen if I stopped making excuses and I just went all in? And what does it mean to go all in? Just take the next step in front of you. Just instead of saying no for God, instead of saying no, I don't want to do that, I don't like that, what would happen if you just went all in and said, okay, if this is my church, if you're my God, I'm just going to go all in. I'm going to take whatever step you have. What would happen if for 1 year, just 1 year, you went all in for God? I'm telling you from my own experience, what would happen is if you go all in and you take a step for God, and you start today, you're not going to really see much movement. And you're not going to see much life changing. You're going to think, oh, it's not that big of a deal. And then you're going to take another step. And you're going to say, that's not that big of a deal. I don't really feel like my life is changing. And then you take another step of faith towards God. And you take another step of faith towards God. And when you get to a year from now and you look back, you're like, holy cow, I've come so far. But we want to get from this spot to this spot without going on a journey. Life change happens one step at a time. So what is God's step for you to take next? Will you pray with me? God, we come before you right now. And we just ask in Jesus' name that you would speak to each and every one of us. What is our next step? What do you want us to do? God, when you speak, it's scary, it's difficult. So we're asking that you give us the courage to take that step. Help us to walk towards you and experience the life that you promised us we have in you. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed and learned from today's podcast. If you'd like to connect with us further, you can check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net or find us on Facebook or Twitter.